Open your Bibles to Genesis 16. Whew. Today we're going to talk about Hagar for a second, and we're going to talk about not running from conflict, not running from correction. Oh, our favorite stuff to talk about. I don't know about you, but I don't like conflict. Do you guys? If you love it, there's probably something wrong with you. Because you're always wanting to be in control. But we're going to talk about Hagar here and not running from hard times, hard places. As things get harder in the world, darker in the world, God's with us. He's going to help us. Some of us are doormats. Some are plow attackers. And we all have to kind of balance out a little bit because people are on so much stress right now. They're on high alert. Their guard's down, they're upset, they drive weird, they talk weird. If you notice, the world is off the rails right now. So the Lord's going to help us. And we're seeing here how Hagar, what she did, we do not want to do. In verse 1, Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. So we know she gave Abraham commission, Abraham, to go into her handmaid that she might obtain children by her. And he listened to her. In verse 4, and he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. In other words, ha, 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 I got it. You don't. She's pregnant. She was mad at Sarah because look at, I got the baby and you don't. So all of a sudden now she was despised. That word there means she was disrespected. She was hated. And Sarah gathered her husband, said, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and now I'm despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. So what did she do? In verse 6, when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she was, all right, now we see that you have this attitude, and she probably triggered her. You know what triggers are. And she dealt hardly with her. And what did Hagar do? She fled. She fled. She was upset. And look what happens to her. Verse 7, the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. Underline in the wilderness. In verse 8, he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where'd you come from and where are you going to go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said, I understand. I feel sorry for you. I understand why you left. You were not treated right. What did he say? Return. Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And then he said, he's going to bless. Verse 15, Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bore, Ishmael. And we all know about Ishmael and the wars that have continued through that son. But here we think, just like her, we should never go through anything. Right? And we certainly don't want to go through anything uncomfortable. So we run. We run. We retreat. We flee, we escape, or we leave the path that we were on because we weren't treated right. I know that's not happened to any of you ever. So I want to repeat that again. So we run. We retreat because what we're going through is uncomfortable. We don't like it. We don't like how someone spoke to us. We don't like how we were treated at work. We don't like the way our daughter or our son treated us. There's a lot of things in life we don't like. So we run. We run from a lot of things because we get triggered. We pull a Hagar. We run from correction. This just happened a few months ago. I've kind of talked to you guys about it, but there was someone that we had to correct. They were getting too dogmatic in a certain belief. And I said, you can believe that if you want, but don't push this on everyone. So what did they do? Sent us a bad email, blocked us all from Facebook. You know what? That's not how you deal with friendships. And none of us like being corrected, but there's times we have to say, ouch, hallelujah. It's like, I don't like being corrected, but we need it sometimes because we all have blind spots. Some of us have been raised in abusive homes. Almost, I don't find too many normal people around. Everyone's dysfunctional somehow. So we need friends to help balance us out because we have blind spots and this is the way we've always reacted. Well, your reaction is not right. So we all help each other out, and that's what friendships are all about. That's why we need people in our life that are not like us because they see things a little different than we do. And you don't want to be surrounded with just yes people all the time because they're going to tell you what you want to hear, but behind your back, they're going to tell you what they really think. So we run from correction. And the Bible tells us that we're supposed to love correction. In Hebrews 12, that's quite a good chapter there. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord, whom the Lord loves. He corrects. So sometimes people are going to correct you, and it's really God through them trying to help us. Then we run from conflict. And today, we just turn on the news, and it's conflict. We turn on the news. We turn on the media. They're fanning a flame. They're fanning some kind of a propaganda for this or that. And sometimes you just have to shut it off and just say, I'm not buying that today. I'm going to have a good day. Thank you. So we run from conflict. And conflict happens whether you are good friends or not, whether you have a good marriage or not. You are not going to live in a conflict-free life, in spite of what the Word of Faith told you. They basically told you, don't face your reality. You're on top. You're rising. Everything's wonderful. Plant a seed, and you're going to have a harvest. Everything's going to be perfect if you have a great attitude. They just ripped a script. They just ripped a lot of scriptures out of the Bible. So we have conflict. We have reality. We face troublesome times. And sometimes because of the way we were taught, well, I'm in trouble. I'm having a conflict. God must not love me. I must have done something wrong. I haven't confessed enough. That's all religion. So we have conflict. What is that? It's a clash of ideas. Not everybody is going to agree and think alike. So we have a difference of opinion. When we run from conflict, we may be running from the very process God can use to heal our hurts and our blind spots. It may not be God sent, but it can be God used. So our relationships are a lot like raw gold that has alloys and impurities in it. And when things get heated up, things come to the top. In the fire, we see what you're really made of. Or like they say, you never know what a tea bag really is until it gets in hot water. So when things get heated up, we face differences. We face difficulties, disagreements, and our impurities come to the top. We're going to see our pride. We're going to see our fear. We're going to see abandonment issues that maybe that conflict brought out, but they didn't bring on. Because we've all been through some stuff and we have some triggers. And triggers go off in things. So we try to find out what people's triggers are in our life and not pull those triggers or set those triggers off. Because that might not be a trigger for you, but it is for that other person. So we learn how people react. So our impurities come to the surface, our pride, our fear, rejection, abandonment, insecurities, and selfishness. Sometimes we clam up and all we do is think about ourselves. Think about ourselves. That wasn't right. I got treated wrong. And you can kind of go into this attacking yourself mode because of you don't know how to come out of it because you're clamming up and you don't really know who to talk to and you're not honest about how you feel. So everything's brought to the surface. And we've been taught that struggling or suffering is wrong. So we should never have it. We should never allow it. Just like Hagar, we're going to run. We were talked to badly. We're never going to have that person in our life again. Now, there are abusers. There are manipulators. There are con artists. There are controllers. There's narcissism. That's a different subject of what I'm talking about today. There are people you have to leave. If they're going to continually abuse you and misuse you, that's another whole subject. But I'm dealing with life, just pretty much situations that we're facing. We're all going to have to be corrected at times, and we're all going to have conflicts at times. It's how we respond to the conflict. So in 1 Peter 5, 9, in verse 10, you can read all that, but it says, but the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you have suffered a while. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Wow. We shouldn't go through any suffering. Oh yeah, we're going to. Just think of children coming out of diapers, coming out of, you know, new tooth. There's always pain in growth. Wetting your bed. I want to go back to the diaper. I don't want pain. None of us like pain, but life is full. And just we're dealing with people dying now, older parents. We don't like that. I hate death. I don't like doing funerals. I'm kind of like, I'm not doing any more funerals. I don't like funerals. I've never liked funerals. But people are going to constantly be born and die. It's kind of the cycle of life. But in Romans 5, this is one thing that's really important. Tribulations work patience. If you don't go through anything, you're not going to know how to handle things. And tribulation works patience, and patience works experience. So now that you're grandma, you don't let hardly anything bother you that bothered you when you had kids, because you see they lived through it. You see that it's not a big deal. Everything, there's like, you didn't treat me like that. How come my grandkids are so spoiled? Because now you have experience. And that first child, oh my, you just thought everything was just terrific, horrible. And then you have another one, and it's like you calm down a little bit. You had some experience. So the same thing, that tribulation there means distress. It means persecution. It also means suffering. Some of you are married and you're doing well now because you suffered. You suffered the first few years. You did things differently. You talked to each other differently. Things are different, but you survived, and now you have experience, and that experience creates hope. If you never went through anything, you wouldn't have any experience, you wouldn't have any patience, and you wouldn't have any hope for the future. So life is about, how do you handle correction? How do you handle rejection? How do we handle all these situations? And how do we handle conflict? And we have to remember the butterfly that I talked about a couple weeks ago. The metamorphosis of the butterfly. That little boy wanted to help as he saw the struggle of that butterfly coming out of the cocoon. So he cut a hole in that cocoon so that the butterfly could quickly come out. But the result was the butterfly never was able to fly. The butterfly was supposed to struggle. There's things in life we're going to have to struggle through. And we're going to have to trust God through it. The butterfly was supposed to struggle. The butterfly struggled to push its way through the tiny opening, push the fluid out of its body into its wings. So without the struggle, the butterfly would never fly. So the boy thought he helped him, and he actually hindered him. Sometimes as parents, we try to do too much. We don't let the process happen. We try to tell the kids stuff they are not ready to hear. They have to learn how to fly. The little boy forced the outcome he wanted. And that's what we do sometimes. We want to force the outcome. Instead, we got to step back and let God work it out. We've got to let other people come to their own decisions, their own conclusions. We don't want to force things on people. The little boy thought he was helping the butterfly. And sometimes we think we're helping a situation, but he was not being helpful. He ended up hindering that butterfly because the butterfly needed to struggle. So we run from correction. We run from conflict. We run from change. I don't know about you, but I don't like moving. Moving is change. You have to pack everything up, get rid of stuff. I've done a lot of moving in my life. I don't like it. And then I realize, the older I am, why are you collecting all this stuff anyway? Your kids don't want it. Nobody wants it. You make this big struggle of giving it to the Goodwill. And then sometimes you take it to a different place, you know, like a turnstile or something. We don't want that. We'll give you a quarter for it. They don't want your stuff because there's memories there, and they're like, that outfit's too old. Well, I spent a lot of money on that. We really don't care, have no need for it. We don't like change. None of us like change. We like the familiar, and that's why it's so hard right now as things are getting globally reset. Study Agenda 21, we're in the first stages of it. Like it or not, changes are going to happen with our economies, with our education systems, the way we do things, the Internet of Things. And we don't like change. We like the way things were, but change is happening. So we have to learn how to deal with change, stretching into new things, things we've never done before. And we run from difficult people. I don't know about you, but I don't like difficult people. I think everyone should get along, everyone should flow. And when I would run into difficult pastors' wives, when I did, I didn't want to, there was one in particular, I didn't want to preach for her. She was jealous. She had, just because they're in the ministry doesn't mean that they have grown up. They're babies. They're still in diapers and they wah-wah. And they're jealous. And people are people. And I had to learn most of my life for 40 years was dealing with preachers. And a lot of them weren't nice. They were not nice. They didn't like people. And I didn't like to be around them. But, you know, for some things you have to do, you have to do it. But not everyone has to be in your inner circle. But you're still going to have to deal with difficult people. Maybe a boss, different things in life. But something happened to Hagar here when she ran. And just like us, when we run, she ended up in the wilderness. If we go on a path that God didn't tell us to take just because it was hard, we're going to be in a situation that's going to cost us something. It pays a high. To disobey is going to cost us. It costs relationships. It costs money sometimes. Cost different things happen when we are doing things. We end up in the wilderness. And Hagar ends up in the wilderness. And we open up ourselves, just like she did, to temptations that God never wanted us to have. We have to go through that conflict. We have to go through that correction. We have to go through that misunderstanding. We have to go through whatever it is, even though we don't want to. We all are going to be faced with things that, how are we going to respond correctly? And if we don't, we're going to end up in temptations. You're mad at your wife, now you end up at a bar, now you're opening yourself up to temptations. If you would have just not went to that bar, if you wouldn't have done that step, now you're opening up yourself to things that you shouldn't be even opened up to. So you end up being tempted, and there's a price to pay when you run. When we run from things, we lose things. You lose divine connections. Sometimes you lose a good friend that was honest enough to tell you the truth. Some people don't have a mirror or a friend. That's why they wear really bad clothes. Sometimes you say, honey, are you going to wear that? That means take it off. But you lose things along the way. You lose divine connections. People that are meant to be in your life. If you get offended, you're going to lose them forever. And then they're gone. And it's hard to find really faithful, good friends. Divine connections that God puts in your life. Sometimes you have to suffer through their warts. We all have warts. We all have issues. We're not on the other side yet. We're working through stuff. So we got to learn to love people, warts and all. So in the Greek here, suffer means to endure evils. We have to endure hardships, endure troubles. Jonah, he runs from his calling. Now what happened when he ran? He had to go back to Nineveh. What happened when Hagar ran? She had to go back to Sarah. Elijah ran from Jezebel. He lost his servant. He left his servant there. He was so afraid. He lost things along the way. That servant was there, supposed to help him. But he was running and he lost things. In 1 Kings 19, God tells Elijah, go back. You got to go back. Go back. It's like a football game. Go back to where you dropped the ball. Hagar, you got to go back. Jonah, you got to go back. Elijah, you got to go back. Where you dropped the ball, to the place you ran from. So God tells Elijah, go back and anoint different people. You can't run from your assignment. So if you're running from your assignment, you got to go back to your assignment, Jonah. Elijah, Hagar, hello, us. We have to go back to that assignment. We blame. We don't want to take responsibility. We blame. We find fault. We justify. We free ourselves from guilt. Well, I had that affair because I wasn't treated right, so it's your fault. We minimize. We make small or light of our sin. Of course, it's all your fault, so I'm not looking at my pride. I'm not looking at what I have to look at because I'm so busy looking at you. We spiritualize. We pull the God card. The Holy Ghost told me this. I hate that one. Or God told me this. Well, how are you going to argue with the God card? So don't run from hard places, even though we all want to. And I put up both hands. I don't like hard places. I don't like conflict. I don't like mean people. But we have them in our life. We don't like correction, conflict, or change. So what do? We avoid it. We stuff it. And what happens, it's hard on our mental health when you just keep stuffing things. When you always say, oh, I'm not bothered, you really are bothered. Oh, I'm not going to let that... You never are honest. You don't face your own feelings. And we were taught that in the movements we came out of, to deny your feelings, to deny your body. Your body is telling you, stay home and rest. No, you can't. You can't miss it this meeting. You're healed. And there's something wrong with you if you aren't feeling good. How shaming is that? That whole movement was shaming. So now the people come out of those movements, what are they? They backslid. They totally left the Lord. That's not the way to do. We were born into this world. We got saved, and we ended up in churches that abused us. We got to come out of that. You still serve the Lord. He's the one that saved you. People are, there's a lot of denominations, there's a lot of man, there's a lot of politics, there's a lot of garbage in this world. We got to navigate it. We got to come through it. We got to come through it. We got to stay on that narrow road. Mannequins don't have conflicts, and cadavers don't get angry. But for the rest of us, it's a journey. Misunderstandings, differences of opinion, strife, fear, a clash of temperaments. It's called life. In closing, don't clam up. I used to do this series on conflict, and I started studying it again because I'm going through some stuff. I just thought, I don't want to preach it right now. When I'm all through it, I'll preach it to you. Conflict happens. People have different personalities. But if we clam up, we're slow crockpot cookers. They withdraw. You withdraw into self-pity and criticalness, and you hold grudges. Not good for your health. Then there's the blow-ups. They rant and they rave. That's not good for the rest of us. The ranters and the clam-ups. So we have to find the balance of how to deal with people in our life. And guess what? God doesn't give up on any of us. God knows how to do crazy. I thought I'd make you laugh at the end. God doesn't give up on us. We've all come through situations. We're all going to go through more. More life is going to happen, conflicts. But it's how we are in the battle. Keep self-control. But don't beat yourself up and not be honest. Because I know some people, they always take the abuse and they never talk. They never speak up. So you don't know where they're really at. They deny their own feelings. And as a result, they have low self-worth. You deserve respect. You deserve respect, and we should give respect. And we all deserve empathy, putting ourselves in somebody else's shoes. Now, when I tell this person this, how are they going to react? Is this going to hurt them? Is this going to help them? I had to bring correction to somebody a few months ago, and I did it. I waited a year. I was patient. I waited a long time. But no matter how I was going to bring it, as nice and sweet as I was, some people will not receive God-given correction. I'm not saying we always do it right, but this was totally dealt with wrong. It hurt a lot of people. Why? Because people did not want to receive correction. They don't want their views changed. But let me just tell you something. None of us have it all figured out. Put away your charts. Put away your timelines. All these people that say when Jesus is coming. This has been a battle for years and years. We're not going to figure it out. We just stay filled. We be ready. We treat people with respect. God loves people. So what makes you so dogmatic, think that God's happy with you? Because every time you try to correct some of these people, they get mad and they cut you off. I mean, they're really ready to go be with Jesus, aren't they? That just makes me laugh. So we have to walk in the fear of the Lord, because that we know then that, you know, we're trying to see how this person's going to react. We don't want to upset that person, but we also have to be honest with ourselves. And sometimes it's not good to have a conflict and talk right away. Simmer down. Calm down. Everyone's all emotional. Wait till you've dealt with your own feelings and then know how to be able to be someone that can help in conflict. Amen? And everyone's growing. Father, we thank you for truth, that we don't want to be like Hagar. We don't want to pull a Hagar. We don't want to run. We don't want to leave our assignments that we're called to do, but we need your help. Sometimes people are really difficult. They're not nice. They're mean. They're bullies. But Father, we know you know how to deal with them, so we just ask for your strength in these times when people are our bosses. They're expecting more than we can give, or people are expecting this or that, and they get offended so easily. We have to keep in mind, you said, those that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. So help us have an unoffendable heart, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Be sure to hit the subscribe button and hit the bell button so you can be notified of the newest videos. We are viewer supported. If you would like to donate, please go to livinginhispresence.org. In the upper right hand corner, there is a give button. Thank you, and see you next time.